Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Automotive and the host of Car Stuff Podcast. How you doing, Tom? It's been too long since I've talked to you.
It's been a while. It's been a while, yeah.
How many years with Stephen Johnny?
I'm going to say 25 years now.
Wow. Wow.
That's a spring chicken.
And they are. And you are still spring chickens. All right. I want to talk about EVs, the electric vehicles. It seems as though, and what do I know? I know nothing about this stuff, but it seems as though there are fewer choices and they are decreasing in popularity, greatly because of the tax advantage going away under Donald Trump. Am I right about that?
Yeah, September of last year, the federal tax incentive on electric vehicles disappeared. People who remember, it was $7,500, which is a considerable sum of money. And sales really peaked right during September, and they've fallen off by about half. But they're sticky now. People are buying electric vehicles. Toyota, General Motors, Hyundai and Kia, they're still selling a significant number of EVs.
Now, the EVs are more money at the outset. I mean, theoretically, you save on gas. People I know, I don't have one, that have an EV, say the price of plugging in has gone up since they've gotten their EV. But now Ford is doing something that is going to be affordable.
Yes. This is very interesting. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, Ford made an announcement. And if you do the timing on this, they knew about this project long before they made the announcement. But it was to create an electric vehicle for $30,000. And the project had two goals. One of them was to build a vehicle very affordably and then to bring it to market very affordably. And if people remember, just before COVID, Ford introduced the F-150 Lightning, which was a full-size electric pickup truck, and that failed to meet any sales expectations at all. It was expensive. People didn't fully understand what it meant to be. And ultimately, it didn't tow especially well. So this new vehicle, which comes out next year, apparently going to be available for under 30 grand. It's a small pickup truck, so it can be used in urban environments, not necessarily a commercial vehicle. But there's a lot of promise here.
312-981-7200. That is our phone number if you have questions for Tom. So right now, it seems as though if you want a small car, several years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago, that was the thing. You know, I mean, people wanted smaller cars. They got good gas mileage. It was really greatly before the idea of hybrids were around. And small cars, that's what people got if they wanted to fit into parking spaces or save money on gas. It seems as though the crossovers, the trucks, the larger vehicles have taken over. And I remember growing up as a kid, they may not have had crossovers, but it was that pink Cadillac. It was the big car that everybody wanted. Everybody drove. Is the cycle back where we're not seeing small cars?
Yeah, that exactly happened. Because of COVID and the chip shortage that people may remember that restricted auto manufacturing, car makers stopped building cheap vehicles. And things like the Kia Rio, the Hyundai Accent, and later the Sentra, the Nissan Sentra, vehicles that you could buy under 20 grand disappeared. And they've been replaced by small crossovers, and the price increase is like 5 grand. So affordability seriously compromised.
And am I right about, and I may not be, if you want a small car, aside from a sports car, or aside from a car that's a souped-up sports car, that'll a Maserati or something that's going to cost you a lot of money, there are very few choices out there.
Yeah, they really are. Choices at the bottom end of the market are kind of limited. The subcompact crossover segment is now the entry-level segment. And you can buy something like a Chevrolet Trax and maybe get out the door for 25 or 26 with tax and with all the fees and everything. But that's as cheap as it gets now. So you're looking at maybe a $400, $420 payment as kind of the least you can do now.
All right. So it used to be that, again, it used to be the second sentence, I think, that I began like that, that you'd go into a dealership and you'd want an Impala or a, I don't know, a Buick LeSabre or something. I mean, now it's, we sell the, do you want the X5525 or the X5524? Would you like the 35729 or the 35? I don't know what all these numbers mean.
This is more true, I think, of luxury makers. If you were thinking about a Lexus, a Mercedes, an Audi, a BMW, or a Genesis, you need a code book.
Yeah, you do. So it's not only me.
Oh, it's incredible.
Why have they gone that route? It seems as though a car would be easier to market if it's called a Mustang or something.
I think you hit the point exactly. These makers are not advertising specific models. They're really about brand management. They want people to think BMW, think Mercedes. And then you get to the dealer and you can work things out there.
Interesting. Now, what I want to know, and we're going to learn after the break, about whether prices, because you do have a crystal ball, and whether the prices are going to go up like crazy because of this even crazier war with Canada, because they provide so much that goes into manufacturing our cars. I also want to know why it is that if you're 18 or 21, you can go into a car and figure out in less than 3 minutes what to do. But if you're over the age of 40, good luck. We'll find out with Tom Appel when we come back, and also hear more about your podcast that you do on WGN. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and the host of Car Stuff. That's the name of the podcast. All right, can you really make a deal? Is Tracy Chapman right? I mean, can you walk into a dealer and say, what do you mean by that? And it used to be that you'd haggle. I use that, used to be again. I keep doing that. Yeah. But it did used to be where you could haggle. Can you still do that and say, no, I want $5,000 less. And then the other guy or woman says, no, and go back and forth and back and forth. Is buying a car really like that today?
Not so much. With car prices so available, advertised car prices so available online, that you are able to compare dealer to dealer so easily that there isn't that much margin left in these deals. So if you see an advertised price, you are free to go in, try to knock off $100 or $300, but there's not that much money.
$100? My gosh, that's like filling up one tank of gas right there.
Right. Yeah, the big chances to negotiate a price are in the past.
That's sad to hear. All right, so
kind of.
Yeah. So we've got this war going on with Canada, of all places. Well, Canada supplies a lot, as I understand, that goes into our cars. Detroit and others depend on Canada a lot. First of all, am I exaggerating about that? Do we depend on Canada less than it's made out to be? And what does this mean for the cost of cars?
That's a very good question. And the current administration is now talking about a punitive tariff of 50% basically on everything. It's really unclear what that means. Is it a 50% tax on vehicles that are not compliant with the current USMCA agreement? Or is it everything, which would make prices prohibitive? But Canada is a huge trading partner. They build a lot of vehicles that we buy down here, especially from Toyota and Honda. And anything that happens there will drive up the price in the marketplace.
So are you saying right now is a good time to buy a car before those prices escalate? Or you're saying we're not even sure those prices will escalate?
I suspect that what would happen here, if there is a tariff, and it is substantial, manufacturers will likely eat that cost until the end of the model year and then expect big price increases for next year. So there is no surplus of cars in the marketplace right now. Usually as we cruise into the end of the year, there's a lot of cars on lots that haven't been sold, and we start to see rebates. Not going to happen this year. The supply of vehicles is pretty much equal to the demand. So no big deals.
Is this still a good time of year to purchase a car? That is a question we have from 630.
Yeah, you can start looking around now. We're at the changeover. September is traditionally, and this is less and less a thing, but September is the big switchover where you go from one model year to the other. So if there's a car out there that maybe is a strange trim level or an odd color, you might be able to get a great deal on it.
But can you still get the car? So if the car is not on the lot and you want a purple car with yellow stripes because they make it, but they don't have it, then are you out of luck?
You are out of luck now. Late in the model year, you can usually not order from the factory.
Or from another dealer across town?
Yeah, they can trade for you.
Okay.
So if you can find one someplace, your dealer can trade for that vehicle.
Now, what if you are, and I talked about this before the tease, before the break, I tried to tease this idea, but I think it's true. If you're of a certain age, just learning to drive, just got your license, but you can repair a computer with your eyes closed because you're of a certain age, does it take that to operate today's cars? I mean, you go inside these cars and they've got these screens, these panels, and you hit that button and you hit that button and then you hit that button and that button. And now finally the windshield wipers go on.
Yeah, I just drove a vehicle and I was frustrated that I couldn't find a volume control knob. There was a volume control on the steering wheel.
What?
Which I don't love. But I couldn't find a knob next to the radio. But that is increasingly happening. And one of the things, too, and why young people are so much better at operating a car, is that cars are increasingly designed to mirror what's happening on someone's cell phone. So if you're using Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, you're going to have a pretty easy time.
But what if you don't use one of those? But yeah, but even then, there are all these things that I think are great personally. But boy, oh boy, you need to go back to school and get a degree in order to understand how to use all this stuff, I think. All right, so you're shopping for a car today. And this listener wants to know specifically the best value. Now, that's hard to say because I don't know if they want, what size car they want, all that kind of thing. But what would be the best buy out there? Name a couple of them.
Yeah, there's some vehicles in the compact, subcompact crossover class. A surprising hot seller that I don't know that everyone's aware of yet is the Chevrolet Trax. It's a subcompact crossover. It's very roomy, very fuel efficient, kind of fun to drive, and it starts around $22,000. That's about the strongest value you're going to find.
Okay, and what is the car? Another question, what is the car that you deem the most reliable? If I buy a new car, which car is going to last me the longest?
I can't predict reliability, so we have to go by past performance. But I think if you're just looking for something that has traditionally been super reliable, has great resale value, and returns great fuel economy, like a Toyota Corolla or a Toyota Camry, great way to go.
Why don't dealerships, another question here from a listener, offer some training on how to use all these features that you guys are talking about?
They are supposed to. And often buyers wave off the session, or the dealers don't get around to it, or the salespeople aren't interested in doing it. But if you ask about it, your dealer will likely accommodate you and spend a half an hour or an hour with you and walk you through the features of your vehicle.
So we were just in Nashville, the family, and we decided to do this, Tom. The two women in our group, my sister and my wife, were like, I don't know. Myself and my brother-in-law, let's go for it. And that's to get one of those Waymos. Did I say that right? The driverless cars that are like taxis there. First of all, I don't know how the Uber and Lyft drivers feel about this, or the taxi drivers in town, because they are everywhere. What about that for all of us? How long will it be before we can actually purchase a car that you sit in the back seat and it's like a driverless chauffeur?
Yeah, it's a funny story there. Tesla just started producing its Cybercab, and it is not for sale to the general public, but it is a vehicle without a steering wheel, without pedals, without side mirrors. And this is for what you were talking about. You mentioned grabbing a Waymo. Tesla makes the same service available in Austin. And you're going to find that these services, these driverless taxi ride-hailing services, are generally in warm weather cities and smaller cities. And that's where the experiment is at this point.
And it's still considered an experiment?
It is. There's stages of this. Like, Tesla isn't allowed to charge for the service yet. Waymo is. And one of the problems with the advancement of autonomous taxi cabs is that there aren't federal or state policy rules, legislation that's consistent. So you find that all the people trying to do this are making separate deals with the government, and it's kind of confusing.
Tom, you are the most powerful person on the planet, and you can bring back one make of car from the past. What would that be?
Oh, I've been sad that Pontiac's been gone. Pontiac of the 60s and 70s was so cool.
Yeah. So that would be the one you'd want to bring back?
I think so.
Tell me about your podcast. Where can people find Cat Stuff? No, Car Stuff. Sorry. Cat Stuff.
Yeah, the Car Stuff podcast, available wherever you download podcasts. New episodes every Tuesday morning.
There'll
be a new one this Tuesday, too.
You don't talk about cats?
Almost never. I talk about my cats.
Okay, it's called Car Stuff, not Cat Stuff, Car Stuff. and it's wherever. Yeah, he's going to go back to Steve and Johnny. He's never going to be with me again. That's wherever.
Not true.
Wherever your podcasts are heard. Tell Steve and Johnny I love them, Chicago loves them, and I do love talking to you. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you. He's a great guy, and boy, does he know his stuff.